Life can be an extraordinary adventure. More than ordinary. In the gym. At home. At work. More than ordinary. Advice. Without the new agey bullshit.
Welcome to More Than Ordinary, presented by Seven Generation Games.
I'm Julia DeMars.
And I'm Maria Burns-Ortiz. And joining us today is Paulina Galustian, founder of This One. We met actually at a Women in Tech event last week, and we thought your products was really cool, so we wanted to have you here with us. So tell us a little bit about This One.
Thanks for having me. And I'm really excited to talk about This One and the journey I went through to launch a product that was my first startup. So This One is a decision-making social network. It's a platform where you can go and get feedback from your friends, the community, and experts. So when you're trying to decide what movie to go to or can't decide which shoes to buy and anything you're stuck on, you can get feedback immediately so you can make the right decision.
Yeah, I actually did download it and I can vouch for it as a young woman who can be very indecisive when they're shopping. And it's really helpful, I think, especially for obviously like the fashion industry and like anything to do with like social media is like younger females are like widely involved in everything and like technology and all that, everything that your app is about. And I mean, I think that the world is expanding and like men are getting more into that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's definitely a good app to use if you're a young woman.
And just kind of a quick hit on the experience. So walk us through how someone uses it.
Yeah. So one thing she mentioned is a lot about fashion and things like that. So that's one of our biggest use cases, buying things or what should I wear? So if you're trying to decide, you know, which shoes go best with my prom dress, so you download This One and very easily you can see how you'd upload a post because our experience is very similar to Instagram. So you'd go and you'd be able to upload the photos of your shoe options and ask your friends which shoe would go best with my prom dress. And so once you post it, it goes on a public feed, community feed, and people can see that and give you their opinion by simply tapping on the photo they like better. So if they like the blue shoes or the red shoes, all they'd have to do is simply tap and give you their feedback. If you wanted a more personalized response, so you wanted it specifically from your family members, you would send a private message, which the icon for that is on the top left of This One. You'd click on that and create a private message and invite your family to that post, and they would give you their feedback. And what's great is you can also comment. So if I don't like either of your options, I can comment and give you more feedback or, you know, tell you, you know, this is great, but maybe you should go with the black one because it would go with your, let's say, your purse better, you know? So you can also comment. It's not just simply giving a feedback by saying yes or no.
Well, and so that's cool because it's not just, you know, you could either get from the masses the blue shoes or the red shoes, but then you could say, you know, to your family, should we get this or that for grandma for her birthday?
Exactly. So there's so many different use cases, and we've actually learned that people like using the public posts better because they can get more feedback in a faster pace. But the reason people use the private messaging within the app is because it eliminates the need of creating a group text message that you don't want to be stuck in.
You know, and we brought Julie in part to be our co-host because this is really something that she's really interested in. I mean, talk a little bit about the market that you're trying to reach and kind of what you hope they get from it.
So when we launched This One at the end of May 2016, we built the platform so anybody could use it. We didn't want it to be gender specific, and we didn't have a specific age group that we particularly wanted to use the platform. But as we launched it and saw who our users were, majority of the users were teenagers that were female. So we've created content within our app to please that audience because those are the people who are coming back to the platform. And what's great is that we're seeing people are using This One for fashion, for beauty, and for food. And that's why we have a very female dominant audience that's coming back to the platform. And what we're doing marketing-wise now is creating Instagram campaigns and Facebook campaigns that have use cases that are targeting that type of audience. So pretty much it's 12 to 20-year-old females that we're targeting at this point.
Yeah, that makes sense because like a lot of me and my friends, we usually just like we text each other when we can't decide what shoes we want or anything like that. But they're not always, you know, there. They're always like busy and stuff.
Yeah. And sometimes you want more people's opinions. And what we learned is if you're trying to buy something, you don't feel comfortable enough to post that decision on Facebook or Instagram and get feedback from people. It's not a place. Those aren't platforms where you feel comfortable sharing this type of information. So we wanted to make a platform where you felt comfortable to get optimize how much feedback you'd get on silly questions between what gas station do you guys recommend getting a gas station card so I can get more points for each time I get gas? Or what should I get my great grandmother for her 90th birthday? You know, all of these kind of really specific questions that you wouldn't comfortably ask your Facebook friends, you can ask on our platform.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. And you seem yourself like really young to start an app and everything, like, you know, like what you're selling.
Yeah. So I'm 22. And what I love about the demographics that we're attracting is I can relate to what they want. And when it comes to creating content, I can easily connect with these people. So it makes it a little bit easier on my end. And what I've learned from my generation is that we actually have a lot of options. And depending on the type of personality you have, you want to pick something out of your options that the majority of people are going to agree with or like. So we're simplifying that process you have to go through and building a community that's giving you the feedback so that you can go see the movie that all your friends want to go see or go to the restaurant that everyone recommends so you don't waste money and time going somewhere that isn't, you know, very good. So it's really great.
Well, and you started your company while you were in college. How did you balance both founding a startup and getting a degree?
I studied advertising and business in school, so it was great to be studying something that paralleled a business that I was trying to create. Unfortunately, it was difficult to balance both being a student and being an entrepreneur. But if you have the will to do it, you'll make the time and the effort for it. So it was a lot of going to class 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and then waiting for my team to finish up work and meeting with them from 6 p.m. till 1 a.m. So it was a lot of hustling and it was a lot of late nights and early mornings. But that inspired me to graduate sooner. So what I did was we started developing this one in May of 2015. I took summer school and I took 22 units that fall semester and then graduated in December of 2015. So it was a lot of work, but it was great. And what's nice is a lot of the professors were really understanding of what I was going through. They let me do projects that paralleled directly to this one. And what I was learning in class actually applied to what I was trying to do at this one. When it came to creating pitch decks or doing email campaigns, these were all things I was actually learning in school. So it made it a little bit easier.
And did you find your team during college or after college?
So I found my team while I was in school. I actually was working while I was in school as well. So when I first had the idea, I approached people in the industry I had met through internships and jobs and asked them, you know, their opinion on this one. And then I was lucky enough to meet Colby Bothy, who's a designer in San Francisco, who he helped me put my idea into a real vision by creating this one and creating prototypes. And together we worked on finding a technical co-founder.
Yeah, and I was going to ask about that because finding a technical co-founder, especially when people don't have those technical skills, it's one of those things that other people in tech are like, well, that's like looking for a unicorn. You know, it's going to be impossible for you to find a technical co-founder if you have an idea and not a company. But you went out and did that. And so how did you do that?
It was definitely intimidating. People were very discouraging because there's so many engineers in San Francisco, but there's very few people who want to become a partner with you and bootstrap a startup. And so my ideology behind this was to reach out to every master's program in computer science that I could find in Northern California and send a flyer out saying I was looking for a technical co-founder for this one. And we had a website up for this one. Colby and I had built it, so it helped people see the idea of the product before they came in and spoke with us. We got a lot of feedback because we sent out these flyers in May of 2015, and that's when a lot of students were either finishing their master's programs or starting summer.
So you sent out like paper flyers?
No, we made like a PDF flyer and we sent it to these schools. And they were very nice about distributing it. I actually found professors from each program and emailed the professors with the flyers directly. And those professors emailed their students those flyers. So it was very, they were very helpful about it. So we got a lot of feedback. And when it came to interviewing these engineers, I'm not a technical founder. I don't have a computer science degree. So I asked people who I knew that were engineers or who had a technical background to come to these interviews with me. And what we were looking for was someone who was capable of building the product, but also was passionate about the solution we were trying to solve.
So you found your co-founders, you have your team, then you start building it out. Kind of what was that process like, taking it from concept to actual product?
Once you get someone technical on your team, the dynamics change. Because when you're just building a prototype out on Sketch, you can tell yourself like, wow, this feature would be great. And it would be cool to put this button on, in this part of the app. And then when you have someone technical join your team and tell you like, making that button purple is going to take me 2 days. Is it worth that time? Is it worth that effort? So it definitely changed the dynamics of it.
One of the interesting things, too, is you guys were started up in San Francisco and then you moved down to LA. And a lot of people in tech will say, you know, Silicon Valley is the mecca of the tech world. It's where everybody should be going. What inspired you guys to go from Silicon Valley down here to LA?
So once we launched this one, we launched it in San Francisco. We had to reevaluate everything and say, okay, we hit our goal of actually launching this product. What are the next steps? And we actually haven't taken that next step to look for funding. And the cost of living in San Francisco is really, really high. And we knew that we, for a bootstrapped company, we could maximize our resources if we moved to Los Angeles, which is where I'm originally from. And what I've learned being back in LA and seeing the Silicon Beach scene and the startup scene here is everyone's really supportive of each other. And we're a bigger fish in a smaller pond versus San Francisco, where everyone is part of a startup or has an idea for a startup. And that's their goal. That's all they talk about. That's all that's going on. And another element to it was our audience was in Los Angeles. And we looked at companies like Snapchat and Tinder that are doing really well being startups that are located in Santa Monica or in West Hollywood. And one thing that I think was a benefit to them is they were located in a community that is looking for the next big thing, a community that likes social network, a community that likes to be the first one on the coolest new app. So since we've been in Los Angeles, we've actually seen a lot of growth in our product, whether it's because I'm going out and about in LA and telling people about the app and they're actually downloading it, or it's because I'm attending these events and doing specific marketing targeted to the LA audience that's helping us grow and we're actually sticking to them. You know, people are actually downloading the app, telling their friends about it, and it's growing from there.
Well, and that's one of the things I found too, is I lived up in the Bay Area for a year when we had just kind of started Seven Generation Games, and there's a real difference in mentality. It seems like I don't know if the word is negative, but there's a lot more people dismissing ideas, or, oh, you don't have 10 million users already and you've been around for 2 months or whatever it is. And LA seems not to be, I mean, it's definitely a competitive scene, and it's not, I would say, an easier startup scene, but it's very different.
Having a website is a vital part of your business, but what happens when it goes offline, attacked by a hacker, or infected by malware? Well, don't worry. ConciergeWP.com is here to help. We monitor all the vitals, perform all the updates, and make sure your website is secure and backed up, allowing you to focus on the business at hand. Use code RELAX15, that's RELAX15, and save 15% for the first 3 months. ConciergeWP. Relax. We've got this.
Hi, this is Claudia Christian from C3 Foundation. You can find out more about us at www.c3foundation.org. And you are listening to More Than Ordinary.
Welcome back to More Than Ordinary, where we look at people who are doing more than ordinary things and who are more than ordinary people. Presented by Seven Generation Games. I'm Maria Burns-Ortiz.
I'm Julia DeMars.
And joining us is
Paulina Galustian.
And Paulina is the founder and CEO of This One, which is a really cool app. You will be able to download it on the same page where you're checking out this podcast. If you are getting it on our site, if you're on iTunes, it is
www.thisone.com/download, or you can just go to the App Store. And it's spelled T-H-I-S-W-O-N.
And so this is the part where we look at kind of things you wish you'd known. We don't call it, you know, tips, because one of the taglines for this podcast is self-help without all the new agey bullshit. So what's something that jumps out to you as this would have been great to know?
I get this question often, and I feel like I always change my answer because there's so many things that I wish I knew before I started my first startup. But, you know, you have to do something for the first time to know how to do it better the second time. One thing I would say is don't spend money places that you shouldn't. And it's very hard to prioritize where you should be spending money and where you shouldn't be spending money. I went to the Y Combinator's Female Founders Conference this April, and that's something that they touched base on. Don't go to events and don't spend your money going to conferences and buying all of these marketing stickers and hats and sweaters before you've launched your product. Because when you're building a product and it's not ready to be used by consumers or by your users, it's not worth going to those events and spending that kind of money and time and effort, because you're just kind of giving them the idea of what your product could potentially be. And those resources are more important to keep and utilize once you've launched and when you've figured out who your target audience is. So now that we know our audience is teenage girls, we know where to put our spending. We know who we're trying to target and how we should be doing it. I attended a conference last November in New York, which was exciting, and I got to talk about this one. But looking back at it, it would have been more beneficial for me to have not gone to that conference and spent that week working on this one and kind of working with my team and using those fundings now to do more Instagram campaigns or even like reaching out to influencers and things like that. So it's one of those things where you just learn as you go.
Well, and I was going to say something like that, especially when you have something like an app. Apps are kind of something where you almost have to grab someone right away and they say, okay, cool, can I download it right now? And people don't necessarily remember 6 months down the road, oh, now I'm going to go download that app.
Exactly.
You know, so they want it right now. And I think that's one of the things, is it's this very much a balance between having people know about you when you roll out, but at the same time, not spending so much up front that when you roll out, you have nothing left.
Exactly. I mean, of course it was beneficial. We got market research and we got feedback from people, but it's definitely one of those things where if I could go back in time, I'd change. Another thing is making sure that you're able to communicate things. When I first started working with Jose and Colby, if there was ever an issue I ran into as the founder and CEO, I felt the pressure of having to solve that problem myself. And I learned quickly that I can communicate this issue and get their perspective on it. So don't be afraid to talk to your team. Be very transparent and be yourself.
No, I think that's a really good one. And then sometimes people will be, when you're really in a startup and that it's basically your whole life, I mean, everything you're doing is largely going to be working on your product. Your entire professional life is going to surround it around that startup. So you have to really be authentic because I think people will see through it pretty quickly if you're not.
Yeah, it gives character to the product that you're building, and it actually helps the team become stronger because they call me the cheerleader almost of the team because I'm always very optimistic and I'm cheerful and I'm trying to get everyone to be like really enthusiastic about things that could be miserable to build. You know, I'm trying to find the positive out of it. And the different dynamics we have as a team has made our product what it is. So seeing it all come to life, there's different parts of this one that really reflect each person who's had a hand into building it.
Thanks for listening to the More Than Ordinary podcast.
For more information, please go to our website, 7generationgames.com. And that's 7 as in the number 7, generationgames.com.
If you'd like to learn more about math and history, or increase your vocabulary while at the same time having fun, you can purchase our games at 7generationgames.com/buy.
You can also donate and help a much-deserving student.
And as always, please tell a friend and don't forget to rate us on iTunes.
It's never too late to be more than ordinary.